Hello and welcome back to Full Out. It is Sam, your host, and I am so glad you are here. Today's conversation was absolutely epic. I think this is one of the longest podcast recordings that we've had because I just did not want to end the conversation. I have the incredible Danielle Demchak on, who is a relationship and couples coach. And you guys, we get in. I don't think we've ever had a conversation quite like this in the last 4 years of this podcast. So for over two decades, Danielle has been in the holistic health field and has helped countless souls transform their love lives and their bodies. She helps clients build the relationship muscles that create long-term successful relationships. She's certified in relationship and couples coaching, and she's dedicated to helping flip conflict into connection, guiding couples to navigate challenges and cultivate profound, lasting love. She helps clients rewrite their love story, building a future filled with understanding, respect, and unwavering connection. And you guys, we literally touch on so many things. We touch on the different stages of relationship. You know that honeymoon phase that then all of a sudden falls into this thing where you're like, who is this person? What am I doing? Do I need to leave? Is this it? Is this not? And then really being able to discern what is the next step? How do we step into that next level of relationship and love? We talk about communications and different phrases to be able to really connect with your partner. We talk about discernment counseling and how that differs from relationship counseling. I share things I've never shared on the podcast about my own relationship and where I am today as a woman who has left a marriage and who is now freshly and newly excited and engaged. So this conversation was epic. I'm going to encourage you to share it with a friend, share it online, share it with someone who needs to hear it and save it so you can come back and re-listen. And before we get started, I want to invite you into The Body Codes, my new 6-month experience for women who are ready to come home to their truth, come home to their bodies, and come home to their feminine power so that you can manifest and create the man, the money, the magic, all the miracles in between, and everything you desire. Check out the information in our show notes. It's called The Body Codes. We start in May, and I absolutely cannot wait. This is the culmination of all of my work from the last 8 years tied into a beautiful bow in 6 months with community, with connection, and with massive deepening and expansion. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Danielle. Enjoy. Danielle, welcome to Full Out. I am so excited you are here. We both have our red lipstick on, and we were talking before the podcast, and we were trying to remember when we first met, and it was 10 years ago in New York City, and I am mind blown by the way that our paths have gone through all of the life things, and we are circling back here and now talking about relationships, talking about connection, and talking about love. And I am so excited to get into all of your magic today. I know it's going to be powerful. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you. And it is fascinating how our paths from dance and through coaching have come in contact again. So I am just so grateful. I love your energy. I love what you're doing. And I'm honored to be here and to be with your audience.
Thanks, love. It's going to be so good. I know before we hit record, we're trying to figure out where we first met. And when Danielle told me it was through Paul Taylor, literally I was flabbergasted. My jaw was on the ground because that felt like another lifetime for me. I had just gotten married to my ex-husband. Like, I literally do not think about that time in my life at all whatsoever. And so it is just potent, I think, also that we're about to talk about relationship and all of the work that you do with couples. So I would love to know, first, how did you get into relationship coaching?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I got into it because I came from a very dysfunctional family, just to put it out there.
same.
And I had a ton of not successful relationships. And at some point I realized that one of the factors in the relationship is me. And I need to learn. And I started to see, like, what is healthy? Like, who are the people that are together? Is it really healthy, or is it just that they've been together a long time and they've learned to adapt to each other in some way that has well, worked. I don't know thriving, but I would say worked. And I had always been in the coaching industry. So I then became obsessed with relationships. I was like, I wanted to know, what is a thriving relationship? What does it look like? And how can I create that for myself and my life, for my friendships and family members and my romantic partner? What does that look like? Because often we just inherit what we were taught in our families. And I think it's between like 3 to 10% of the population actually have thriving relationships. Whether they learn that from family members that actually practiced a lot of it inherently through their family and lineage, which is very rare. So often we're just passing on what we know from our family without really going beyond what is it that it takes to have a really what's called, Dr. Stan Tacton calls, a securely functioning relationship, right? So meaning that we have each other's backs in private and in public. And that just, I really wanted to focus on that and became obsessed with it. And my relationships, and again, I say these are all practices because nobody gets it perfect. And so I still mess it up all the time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just blaming my partner. I'm just blaming my, you know, my family member. And I'm like, oh, rewind. But the fact is that you're raising your awareness and you're knowing how to navigate relationship and not just being at the whim of relationship, which is super important. That a lot of people end relationships too early just because they don't know how to navigate it. And they think that's the only way out.
Yeah. There is so much already. I have 800 questions, but I would love to start with, I normally ask guests what it means to them to live their lives full out, but I'm curious, what does it mean to you to have a full out or a thriving relationship?
The first thing I'll say that comes to my mind is responsibility. Mm. One of the things that's super important is that each person is aware of his or her triggers because they become landmines and we step on them and we don't know until we step on them. But if we're doing our work and not to say that, you know, it's going to come overnight, but that we're able to be self-aware enough to take responsibility and clean up our side of the street. So when there is conflict, you can see your part in it. It's not your partner's, because we do these dances out of our childhood wounds. For an example, I have a couple and we have an over-functioning partner. This particular partner, it has gotten to a dance where she is subconsciously seeing her partner as a child. And this child that she has to take care of, and she has to repeat herself a number of times, and he doesn't do this and he doesn't do that. And he becomes under functioning to the point where he starts to get distracted with other things, not be present because he's overwhelmed and starts to withdraw. We do these dances out of our subconscious and our childhood wounds, and we're not aware of them. And we get hooked in and we keep playing these roles, like just like in a movie, the role we take on keeps playing and playing until we start to unwind and pull apart these dynamics that aren't serving the couple in the direction that they often want to go, which is, I want to have a connected, loving, and fulfilling relationship.
Yeah.
So we have to really break up that dance.
I love how you say it's a dance. Like, that's just so my language. When I talk about masculine, feminine energetics, when I talk about balance, when I talk about this, like I love that because it really, in relationship, it really is a dance. You have two beings that come with their own programming, their own experiences, their own beliefs, and you're in this navigation and you're in this dance, you're in this back and forth. I love that phrase because I think it really sums it up. Yeah. And so I'm curious, where do you see your couples that you're working with? Where do you see the problems? Like what are the top things that couples come to you with? Because if they're coming to you, I guarantee our listeners are experiencing them. And I would love to hear, what are the things that are getting in the way? What are those examples? And how do we fix it? How do we get better?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they come for many different reasons. And I'll say that most of the time, they're coming in because they want their partner to change. And if their partner changes, then of course the relationship will work. I mean, come on, he's the problem or she's the problem. And if they just changed, this whole thing would be great. And so... And I totally
get how it doesn't work like that.
And it really, like, when we talk about it, it's almost comical, right? Because we can relate to, like, of course it's him or it's her, and we don't see how we're difficult, that every single one of us is difficult. But we know we can immediately say how our partner is difficult. Immediately, they're difficult because of. But then when I flip it and I'm like, well, how are you difficult? People take a pause and they're like, I know that was a really hard question for me.
Yeah.
And now I can answer it very quickly. I know how I'm difficult.
Yeah.
So I think that that is something that I see so repeatedly with couples. And my job is, with their permission, is to help them to see how they contribute to the problem. And really show them that this is a dance that they're doing together. And if I remove one of the dance partners, it can't happen. And if we don't get to the bottom and the root cause or the systemic cause of what's happening in that relationship, just like I use the example, because I have a holistic health background, I use the example of leaky gut. So when there's a permeability to the gut, we have all these other symptoms, such as eczema or fatigue or indigestion. And those are all symptoms, but the root is the leaky gut. And it's the same thing with the relationship. The symptoms are, what was it? The other day I was working with a couple and they were talking about the symptoms. They're like, well, I don't know. Is he's never going to end up, like, you know, helping me around the house and picking up things? I'm like, yeah, but that's a symptom, right? That's a symptom of how you guys are working together on a systemic level that we have to unravel first. If we unravel at the root, then all these other things that are symptoms will start to go away. So I hope that answered. Do you want me to clarify?
Yeah. No, that's great. And so what are other symptoms that you see in your couples that are definitely symptoms versus root cause? Like, I'm thinking of, like, you know, sex life slowing down. I'm thinking of, you know, someone not helping around the house, or the, you know, what are the other symptoms that you're seeing in your couples?
Yeah. One of the things that it definitely, couples not having sex for a long period of time, which is usually, not always, but usually, symptomatic of other things that haven't been established in the relationship, often around communication, around trust, around safety. Because if we don't feel safe, and then it makes intimacy and vulnerability, and not just safe like our brain safe, but actually the work of Stephen Porges around really our bodies feeling safe, right? Yeah. So from a nervous system level that we feel safe, and people can talk about safety from the mind, but you just look at the body language, the hands, the facial expressions, are they leaning away? Are they protecting, right? Those are all indications of the body protecting itself and not feeling safe.
Yeah. And so in the safety, because I'm sure that this goes both ways, because I think a lot of women just assume like it's the woman that doesn't feel safe, but I imagine it goes both ways for the male partner as well. How do you regulate your nervous system and create safety in that relationship? So I know that when we're looking at like healing in a one-on-one space, it's like, okay, this is my responsibility. These are the nervous system tools that I can use for me to feel safe. But how does that work in partnership?
That's a great question. Yeah. So what they've found in the most recent research is that we want to learn how to co-regulate each other. So that's me noticing in you and being aware. That's why when we're driving, never have an argument, because we're already set up in a threat response. And a lot of people end up having a discussion in the car, but it makes it already because of the body language, the peripheral system sees something in the side and it's a threat.
Wow.
So the body's already in a state of threat, and now we're talking about something threatening, it's bound to not go well. So the first thing is to be able to see your partner's face. I was just in a conversation with my partner, and he was sitting sideways to me, and I said, I have to have you turn and face me, because right now I'm feeling really upset and angry, and this is creating more of a threat response for me. So can you face me so that we could face each other? And the moment he did that, like, my nervous system settled.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's a way to co-regulate, is to be able to notice and start to become that you want to become basic. I want to word this in the way that I want to word it. It's not coming out right. You want to become the expert of your partner's handbook of who they are. You want to know them and be able to observe them and understand their triggers and and the shifts in their body language, so that you can see when they're about to shift over. Right?
Yeah.
You can either put your hand on their shoulder or give them a hug or something. And often it's just making that eye-to-eye contact to be able to see what's happening in the shift of the facial expressions. You can then do some breathing exercises. That's also very, very helpful. But they used to think self-regulation came before co-regulation. And it's actually, self-regulation is good, but it's secondary to co-regulation.
Wow. You are blowing my mind right now. I'm eating every single word up. This is so good. So how do we, in relationship, or someone who's dating and starting new, how do we have these conversations with our partners? Like, you know, I don't want to be the person when I'm thinking of some clients that are like freshly dating, and they're like, okay, my trigger is this, 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 and this. Just so you know, these are my triggers. Don't you know what I mean? Like, how do we have these conversations and create this awareness for ourselves about our partner and for our partner around us?
Great question. Great question. Yeah. So too much too fast can be too much too fast, right? Yeah. And I think somebody's like, right? I often suggest that you just, when you're dating early on, you're collecting information about this partner. You're learning about this partner. The way that I encourage people is to start to lead by sharing what they know about themselves. Yes. So that you're good. Able to say, you know, and you're really in that way owning your side of the street, right?
Yeah.
Because, so for instance, sometimes I'll start it out like, I know I really can be impatient at times, right? And for me, it's going to come across as though I'm impatient with you. And I have really high expectations for myself. And so I can be irritable, because I have the same expectations for other people. And I notice that, and just know that, you know, I'm aware of that. And I'm just curious, what do you think some of your, you know, what do you think are some of the areas in which you feel that you're a bit difficult or that, you know, some ways that you might come across? So you can open it in a dialogue like that, where you're speaking about yourself first. So that it gives a little bit more feminine invite to curiosity, and you lead from a place of curiosity.
Yeah, love that.
So I don't know, was that helpful?
No, that's so great. And so I love that for freshly dating. What about people that have been in relationship for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they're like, oh, I need to start having these more powerful conversations with my partner. Is it the same thing, or do you invite them into a different avenue?
It's great because it's always usually it's always one person that leads, right? Or that comes across something and they want to try it in the relationship, right? So when it's like that, and 99% of the time it's like that one person is like, oh, I wish that, you know, I want to bring my partner into this. And a lot of times, depending on the state of the relationship, either you'll get pushback, like, no. But often people that are seeking a better ways of wanting to have a relationship or want a more thriving, the other partner's aware of the dissatisfaction, right? Unless they're just oblivious. Most of the time they know that they're seeking other ways because what they're doing isn't working. And so a way that I encourage my couples to bring it forth is, well, often when they're coming to me, one of the partners is coming to me first. And then I will say, I want to speak to the other partner. Is he or she willing? And then that way I can start to talk to both of them. And I always have them come in together.
Love it. Yeah.
For their initial. So, but in regards to on your own, and if you're just researching on your own and curious, what I would recommend is that you share in a way that's an invitation and not an expectation. I'm not going to give a sex to this, but often one partner will come in like, I want to do this. This is what we're going to do. It's going to make our relationship better. And the other partner's like, I don't need a teacher. I don't need a parent to tell me what we need to do. And so it'll just turn them off to wanting to actually do that work. So I would say, you know what? I came across this. This sounds really exciting. Would you be interested in doing this with me? Could we experiment? Could we experiment? Because when it's an experiment, it's fun. Can we explore this?
Cool. Yeah, for sure.
That's a way to bring it in with a little bit more play. Because when couples play together, they stay together, right? Because it allows us to feel emotionally safe. So you can use it in a playful way.
That's great. Oh, there's so many good things in here. You talk about different stages of relationships. Can you share the different stages so that we can figure out which one we're in? And if you have any tidbits or insights around the stages, I'm all ears.
Oh, I love interviewing with you. You're fabulous. the first stage of relationship is the one that we all think should last forever until eternity. And that if the relationship doesn't look like that anymore, it's doomed to fail. So that's the falling in love stage or the honeymoon phase. It's that exciting love. It's that new love. I call it the spring of relationship. It's like the spring awakening of the relationship, right? I mean, you want to run to the rooftops and say how amazing this guy is or this girl is or this woman or man is. And that is the best thing that ever happened to you. And maybe it is. And basically, there's so many different hormones running through the system. It's almost an addiction. And the body is designed for that. So it's this high, it's this euphoric state, and it lasts up to about 3 years. It can.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah.
that's the falling in love, phase. And all of a sudden what starts to happen is we start to look at our partner and be like, that's not who I met. That's a completely different person. And they start to become triggered by each other, and they act out these behaviors that then trigger the other partner, and then they act out behaviors. And I call this the perfect storm, because it's the perfect storm because your childhood wounds are now acting out. We're showing less raw, we're showing more raw and vulnerable sides, and now it's not so polished. And it's not that we're being inauthentic before, it's just we weren't showing those sides. And this often happens when we've made a commitment. Either we've moved in together, we've decided to get married, or we're already married, that is when this starts to bubble up. And it's called the perfect storm because it's our childhood wounds starting to act out. And we get caught in this loop of trigger behavior, trigger by the other partner, now by our behavior. And then again, behavior, and it goes back and forth until we realize that we're in this stage. And this is often where couples break up because they don't see any alternative to getting out of this other than actually physically leaving the relationship.
Ooh, ain't that the truth? Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very emotionally exhausting, and it can become toxic if we stay in it, and it weakens our immune system if we stay there too long.
Interesting.
And it's not until a couple starts to either get help and support from either a coach or a therapist that can really help them spot where they are and what can help them to start to redirect and navigate their relationship differently to something that they actually both want but don't know how to get there. And that's where we start to move into the rising in love, that we start to use the tools of basically how to lead with trying to understand versus being understood. Leading with curiosity, healing some of those landmines, which are our triggers and our childhood wounds. And we heal in tribe. So we can heal our original wounds. And this is a lot of the work of the Imago therapy. And we can heal those wounds that we were trying to correct as children with our family and didn't find success. We can use that and create what we wanted when we have the right guidance. And that can be a very healing experience for each partner in the coupleship. And that's why I call it rising in love, because it's this ability to go deeper in love than we ever have before. And we're never going to go back to the honeymoon phase, but we're going to go to something far more meaningful and far more deep and far more connected, that we know we have each other's backs no matter what. And we learn to cooperate even better, that we're not fighting each other, we're fighting the problem. So that also takes learning how to have better communication skills and how do we talk to each other. A lot of the times I share with couples, I give them a little sentence to start out conversations, which is, you know, the story I'm telling myself is, right? Or, you know, I'm noticing and I'm wondering. I'm noticing that you're distancing from me, and I'm just wondering if that's true for you. So it becomes this feminine language of invitation, and I mean energetically questioning to invite in.
Yes. So those are the three different phases. Yeah. And then once we are in that rising in love, are there other patterns that happen in that phase? Or once we're there, like, are we solid and we're good?
That's a great question. What you can see, and again, there's actually five phases, but I break it into three for simplicity and
love it.
Also There is a point after we move out of this and we learn to speak our truth, our opinions, our beliefs, and they may be different than our partners, but we're able to respect and honor our differences because relationships can handle a lot more differences than we think. So we get in our own skin, we're able to own our own beliefs and our truths, and our partner isn't threatened by that. Then we start to individuate a little bit. So we might go off and create our business, and our partner might go off and create his business. And we're really just exploring this individuation. Maybe the kids have left the home. And then what happens in the last phase is we start to come back together. Not that we're still connected in that individuation, but we come back together and we become a power team. We start to talk about our legacy. We start to have a vision for our lives that's bigger than the two of us together.
Yeah.
That's an extension of that rising in love.
Yeah. I love this conversation because I don't think enough people are talking about what it actually takes to be in a relationship that will last, that will allow both partners to feel fulfilled and seen and witnessed and supported. And I wish I had these tools when I was younger. Like I just am amazed by these things. And what I love what you said about the stage two and that moment that we get out of the honeymoon phase or that it like starts to disappear is that the way to move through that is to really get support. And I'm curious, does it require support for both? Or, you know, what I find in my world is that a lot of my women are like, I'm doing the work, but my partner's not. And I'm curious. I love how you supported with the invitation and the fun and the play, but I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's true. And you do see that. Thank you. A colleague I know, she'll say that she can help 80% with one person, the relationship. I don't know. I come from the belief that it takes two willing people, and willingness is the key. So when you're selecting a partner, it really is how willing is this partner? How willing? The willingness is the most important part. And for all my mentors that I've studied with, it really does take two people showing up to do the work, because the work relationally that needs to be done from within the couple cannot be done alone.
Yeah.
It can't be done alone. It's just there's couples work. And then so in my sessions, I have the couples and then I work with them individually on where their growth is as the individual.
Yeah.
But the work that we do together is about the systemic work. So how they work as a unit. And if we need to push the edge on one partner in one way and the edge in the other partner another way so that they can systemically work together, that's why it really does, in my opinion, take two from my research, I think it does take two people.
Yeah. Well, and I love that we're normalizing getting support in the relationship, that it's not that you're doing anything wrong, that you're doomed, that it's, you know, you are wrong or he is wrong or they are wrong. It's really, this is a stage that all relationships go through. Am I right? Like this is all relationships. Yes. And
I would say only that 3 to 10% that either have done work or have come from families that have a lot of these skills in their toolbox, would I say, because 90% of people I mean, I love this example. One of my mentors is like, 90% of people are leading relationship the way that they were handed it. So we're trying to go from normal to extraordinary. And that's a huge leap. Like how many of us were sitting around and all of a sudden, you know, one of our parents was yelling and they stopped and they said, I've got to pause here. I got to take a moment and reflect. I really want to hear what's happening for you. I don't know. Right?
No, girl.
So like we're really challenging couples to go from being normal to extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that takes a level of perseverance.
Mm. Yeah.
Level of
perseverance. It's like you have that on one side, and then I feel like there's also the relationship examples of just shoving everything under the rug. Like, we don't discuss anything. Everyone's like in their own silent prison and we don't talk about anything. We shove it under the rug. We pretend that everything surface wise is good. I came up with the other side where it was like, craziness. But I also know that people experience the opposite, where there's just no discussion, no connection. And there's what feels like a big gaping hole there.
Yeah. And that's what we usually call more conflict avoidant couples. Mm. So the fear is if we have conflict, that it will destroy the relationship. So we avoid the conflict.
Mm, yeah.
But these couples often don't have polarity. They end up not having sex because of the fact that there is no intimacy being created by delving into conflict and being able to work through that.
Yeah.
So, but the underlying fear is, not consciously, but subconsciously, the underlying fear being, if I speak up and hold my truth, the relationship will be killed.
Mm.
So powerful. I won't. And it's super powerful. Yeah, it is. Because if that's the underlying belief that we're not aware of, our brains are so genius. Because it's protecting us from the belief that it will destroy the relationship.
Wow. This is so freaking good. You know, I really appreciate this as someone who has who comes from a home with divorces and marriages and divorces, as someone who personally has left a relationship that was really I'm going to go beyond unfulfilling. It really wasn't healthy in many ways, and has now stepped into this next chapter, you know, over 10 years later, being engaged and being with a new partner and going through different partners in between there too. You know, what I love about this conversation is the clarity, and I'm able right now to reflect on, hey, how much I've grown, but also what I stand for in relationship. And after Carlos and I got engaged, we actually went through a really rocky time. And I love hearing these stages of relationship. I'm like, oh, great. We're normal. Like, we're good. And we ended up going to couples therapy. And I had, if I'm being totally honest, I had a little bit of shame about that, being like, I'm a coach. I should be able to understand these things. I should be able to fix these things. But it wasn't until we had that third party who was really there to support us in connecting in a different way that literally changed things. Like, it was night and day for us. And I am so grateful for that. And I wish there was more conversation around powerful couples and successful couples having support. I mean, it's like we have it. It's almost acceptable. No, it's totally acceptable in athletics, right? We know that all of the great athletes, they have their coaches and they have their nutritionists and they have their trainers. They have their mindset coaches. And I'm seeing more and more people in the personal space, the women that are starting their businesses, the women that want to expand in their careers, the women that want to go to the next level. It's a lot of the women I work with. They're like, yes, I'm ready to invest in a coach for myself. I'm ready to have the therapy, the healing, that, you know, all of those things that come with it. But it's like the next frontier, the next thing that I'm hoping is becoming more and more socially acceptable is getting support in the relationship. And I just think that the work that you do is so powerful because this is really where we need it.
Oh, and it sounds like you were in, if I could just reflect on some of the things you mentioned, you were in that second stage when you had made that commitment, right? And I'd said that second stage.
Girl, for real.
And you start to question, like, is this the right thing to do? Right. And I want to honor you for really having the wisdom and your partner's willingness to go and get the help and the support and the guidance, more so the guidance to understand what was happening. Because one of the questions I have when my clients are on the brink of divorce, not that in this case it wasn't that, but is, you know, we want to look at what happened in the relationship. What actually happened? Let's like look at it. And why that's so important is because a lot of times people, and it's almost this subconscious belief in society is that, well, I have relationships, so I should know how to do relationships. And I can't tell you how many people tell me that relationships that I have been in, like where they really dismiss the work that I do. And I know that then that's the time to really move on, but and it's not my goal. It's not my goal to teach my partner, but to know that we each have specific expertise and that we respect that. Right. But we have this subconscious belief, and until it's spoken consciously, that I, you know, well, you know, my parents did it that way and they were fine. And so, yeah, well, a lot of things in life we do are, that are fine, but do you want to excel and grow and actually have something better than you ever have or your parents ever had?
Yes. Yes.
So I think that that's why there is often this shame around it, is because we think we ought to know. And we think we ought to know even if we're coaches, right? But we all have blind spots. We all have blind
1,000%.
Spots. 1,000%. Hard to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's so funny because as a coach, like I have my mentors, I have my coaches, like I have my team for me personally, but I had never had, I mean, the only other time was when I was going to couples therapy about to get divorced. That was my only other experience with having support in the relationship. And so this was a totally different experience. And I would love for you to talk about your discernment counseling, because I have never heard of this. And I'm curious, A, what it is, how it supports people, because I think it's like perfect for this part of the conversation.
Oh, that was great. Great lead in. Yeah. So discernment counseling. So it's very different than couples coaching. It's not designed for couples coaching or couples therapy. It is basically designed to help you get clarity and confidence in the direction of your relationship. So this is often couples that are on the brink of divorce. They have either been in couples therapy or couple coaching and they've half-heartedly shown up. So it hasn't been that successful. And these people really need, and it only goes to about 5 sessions, sometimes 6 sessions, but the goal is that they're going to make a decision. And there's 3 paths. So the first path is we do nothing and we continue on the way that we are. And then there's a second path, which is we get a separation, which doesn't mean divorce. It just means we separate for some time and or divorce. And then the third is we actually do 6 months of couples coaching or couples therapy without the threat of divorce on the table. We take the threat off and we both show up full on and ready to go. Now, what happens is usually there's a leaning in partner. We call them a leaning in partner that wants the relationship, maybe confused, in the fact, do they want to stay married because of the negative connotations of divorce or what that means? Or do they actually really want to stay married because they really care about this person? They have a child with this person maybe. And so then you also have the leaning out person who's like one foot's out the door and the other one is in. And so it's learning how to help them get super clear and focused as to whether or not path 3, which is the couples coaching, is even something that they can do. So we're not learning how to make the relationship better. We're learning, is this even possible? Can each person look at his or her contributions to the problems that have been created in the marriage or the long-term relationship? And are you both willing to change? So we're not changing the relationship. I always tell the couple, listen, you know, don't expect anything better in your relationship out of this. This is not the goal of the coaching. The goal is to help you get clear as to whether you're going to stay together, keep going as is, or if you're going to actually recreate your relationship. So, wow. it really is, it's so fun, for a lack of a better word, to and deep to watch people actually start to own their part in it, no matter how hard it is. Mm-hmm. Because they often come in wanting the partner to change. And if only that partner changed, this relationship would be worth it. Or they're hanging back and they're like, well, if she does something, then I'll do it.
Sure.
Or sure. If he does something, then maybe I'll do it. So It's working with that and being able to help them to start to see what's actually going on and the dances that they're doing, and shine that light on so that they can make the most transparent and educated decision from that place.
Do you think that it's possible for relationships to repair after unthinkable things? Like, is it possible for any relationship to come back together and be successful? Or, like, is there hope for people? They're like, we went through something really fucking horrible. Is there hope for us? Or are certain relationships just not meant to be, and the best thing is really to not be repaired?
Yeah. I would say it's yes to both. It's yes to the fact that some unthinkable things can be repaired. It depends the level of betrayal. So there's different levels of betrayal. Like, for instance, I had a one-night stand, and I need to repair that with my partner. And then there is the betrayal of sleeping with the nanny in your bed that you sleep with your wife while the children are home. That's a different level of betrayal.
Yeah.
That may be as horrible as the one of the one-night stand. It also is, how much erosion has the relationship taken over years beyond this affair or trauma to the relationship? So some people we've seen, that particular couple with sleeping with the nanny, they were able to repair that. The other hand, some couples where, you know, the person's had, they're willing to do the work to understand what had happened, but then they may decide that they don't want to be together anymore.
Yeah.
And neither one is wrong. It's just, I really, really emphasize with my clients, it's about really exploring before giving up. Exploring enough so that you have enough insight that you can really feel as confident as you can about the decision you're making.
Yeah. Powerful. I'm going to throw a wrench in here because I'm just so curious about what your thoughts are on this. So I view my first marriage and that process of uncoupling and initiating a divorce really as a soul contract. I fully believe that my soul chose my ex-husband and that really intense relationship in order for me to reconnect to my soul, to find my truth, to find my voice, to find my path of, you know, building this business and this life around supporting other women and finding their power and coming home to themselves. And I fully believe that I needed to leave that relationship and it needed to be what it was in order for me to be where I am. Now, is that a story that I'm telling myself in order to feel like really great about it and to honor it? Like, perhaps. And also, I'm just curious from your perspective as a relationship coach, if just like what your thoughts are on that. I'm just curious.
Well, what I observed is when you were talking about it, there's a lot of authenticity. So I'm not just looking at what the words that you're saying, but I'm also looking at that seems so true to your being that how can it not be true?
So interesting. Yeah.
We can always, the brain loves to make meaning, right? And the stories that we tell ourselves are important. And the story you're telling yourself is creating more vitality and more life and more aliveness in you. Mm. So it's working for you.
Yeah.
Is what I can see.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're not supposed to be with everybody forever.
I was curious if you thought that too. Yeah. As a relationship coach, like, do you believe some relationships are meant for the season? I forget what that saying is, you know, a reason, a season. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I really, and even in discernment counseling, we'll say, you know, you're choosing this now. If you choose path three to work together, that doesn't mean we're not saying that divorce, that you won't get divorced. All we're saying is that in this moment, you're choosing this relationship and you're choosing to give it all you've got, right? So I think of it as like friendships as well. We don't, not all our friendships, no matter how much work we do, stay forever. There are friends that will last a lifetime. But we do have an expectation around a partner that is supposed to be there for a lifetime. And in my heart, I just don't believe that way. I don't believe that I'm going to be with my partner forever. But I do say we can renegotiate. Every year we can come and say, is this still working? Where do we want to change? Where, you know, what is our priority? Where is our vision for our relationship now? So you're always renegotiating. That makes it fun. That makes it exciting. And it actually moves us towards thriving because we're not getting stuck in a status quo.
I feel like it takes the pressure off.
Yes, it does.
And that's something that Carlos and I have been talking about too. It's just like, you know, we are constantly evolving and who we're saying yes to right now is going to be different than the person we're saying yes to in a year and another year and another year. I mean, we look at my most recent experience with my explant, like we joke that he met me and I had my 34 double D's and I had a very different life and I had a very different experience. And, you know, in the years since COVID and since changing my career and like evolving this business and releasing my breast and my energetic and spiritual journey, like who I am now is very different than who I was 3.5 years ago, let alone who I'm going to be in another 3 years or another 30 years. And so I think allowing that negotiation and allowing this understanding that who we are right now is going to change and blossom and grow. And it might be together and it might be apart. And how do we navigate that if we really decide that we do want to be together and we do want to grow old together?
Yeah. And that's beautifully said. And it is a decision that I share with my couples that we keep, you decide your why. Why are you in this? And do you want to keep choosing this partner each and every day? Each and every day, why are you choosing this partner? And if you stay connected to your why, then most likely, I mean, again, if your why changes, that's okay too. But you need to know your why of when why you're in this.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's, I come much more from the perspective of flexibility with good, with healthy relational principles. Because to me, it feels stifling to know that I'm going to be with somebody the rest of my life. I want to know that we're renegotiating, just like in any deal ever done, is that we're renegotiating and we're continuing to choose out of our free will to say yes to each other, not by a marriage contract, but that we get that choice to access and empower ourselves around our own free will and this co-creation of what we're creating. Because the relationship is the third energetic entity. It's the two of you, but then the third, and how are we treating this baby of our relationship and what we want and the vision of it?
Yes. I remember one of my old mentors used to say 1 + 1 = 3. There's three entities. I love that.
Yes.
And I want to ask, you brought up baby. I'm just curious if you have any tips and support for couples that are in the early stages of parenting. And I know that people talk about how intense that can be on your relationship. Do you have any words of wisdom for families that have young children and are just, they're in it right now?
Yeah, I have them as my clients. Yeah. I think to take the pressure off again is to realize that when a child or, you know, a death of a parent, it really, we may think we're, you might be in a good place in your relationship, and then a new transition happens in our lives that can be very, very difficult. A child, very, very exciting. However, with the couple, it can often create, and they feel like they've backtracked in the relationship. So they feel like they're back in stage two, this perfect storm. They're getting irritated. They're triggering each other. They're acting out behaviors. And that is very normal. When you have these, so a couple can be really great. So these stages are not often linear either. We can actually go back.
Wow, but yeah.
What happens if you have the tools and the skills, you're able to recognize it, what's happening, or get the support saying, oh, we need to either go back to couples therapy or couples coaching. We need to look at this, see what we can't see right now. We just had a huge transition in our lives bringing this child in. And we need to learn how to cooperate again and work together again. And we're a little bit confused around that right now with this new addition or this loss of a parent, right? And maybe he or she is really grieving. And how do we work together in that grief? So there's nothing wrong. It's just being able to recognize that it's not linear, but being able to recognize where you're falling within different times in your lives, so that you can then know how, what your choices are.
Mm, so good.
Yeah. And if you're struggling, most likely that's an indicator that you need support.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not fight support. Yeah. Let's not fight it. Like let's welcome it. Let's receive the support. Let's do it, because we don't need to suffer.
No, we don't need to suffer. You know, one of my other mentors always says that you don't need to, we can't avoid pain.
Yeah.
But we don't need to suffer, right?
Yeah.
We don't need to suffer.
Yeah. I say that quote in my spin class sometimes. I don't teach spin anymore, but I used to. Remember every time we're like cranking the resistance, and I'm like, the quote that pain is inevitable and suffering is a choice. And gosh, like, ain't that the truth? Whether in your spin class, your relationship, or
yes,
insert XYZ.
Absolutely. And what it allows for in those moments is choice, right? It's choice. We allow ourselves that we're not, again, at the of the whim of suffering. We're at the helm of suffering. And we get to choose in those moments, am I choosing suffering, or am I choosing to be empowered in this moment and learn the vital lessons? And I'm not saying this is easy, and I'm not saying I haven't done both.
Yeah, sure. Same.
So, yeah. And these things are, I mean, I really like to set, like, these really requires the warrioress and the warrior within each of us to be able to do relationship in a way that is thriving. So just remember that, because it lets us off the hook of we're trying to do something extraordinary that is not normal.
Mm.
It's not normal. Normal is what you see.
Yeah.
Yelling and screaming, avoiding conflict, blaming each other, not having effective communication. Those are all the things, seeking to be understood. He just doesn't get me. He just doesn't get me. I want him to get me, right? Those are all the things that are unproductive in a relationship and just doesn't move the relationship. They're normal. Yeah, they're normal. Right. But if we're really wanting to shift our relationships, we have to move towards the extraordinary.
Yes.
And it's not easy, but it's definitely worth it. And the way for all the women dating, when you're looking for a partner, is his willingness. That is the number one thing, especially even Dr. Stan Takten. He will say, you look for the willingness, because you can't do it alone.
So good. That's one thing I always said about Carlos was, and he was around when I was going through my crazy grief journey with my career being taken away after all the COVID restrictions and things. Like, he was in it with me in the very beginning through some really hard things. And that was something that I always appreciated. And it was the first time that I'm like, oh, I am actually with someone who can sit in the fire with me, not just when I'm going through it, but then when we were in conflict with, you know, together in our relationship. He was the first person that was willing to sit in the fire, wouldn't run away, wouldn't like throw the fire in my face and be like violent about it, right? But it was really like, we can come together and sit in this in order to transmute it and alchemize it and move through it together. And I had never experienced that before with a male partner, like ever. And so that's when I'm like, okay, we got something here. Team, we got something here. We're good. And it's been, you know, it's been beautiful and here we are. But that, I had never heard that about the willingness piece. And I think that's really potent. It's really potent. Because everyone's human too, right? Like, everyone's human. There is no Prince Charming. There is no perfect. We are not perfect.
Absolutely.
And yet these expectations that we have, or what we've been taught of, like, I don't know, there's some weird entitlement that I think we've been taught too as women. Like,
around relationships.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it sounds like what Carlos was able to do is he had enough what we call tolerance, emotional tolerance, to be able to sit with you in that without fleeing, right? Mm. So he had a certain level of capacity, whether he learned that from growing up and was able to grow, to have a certain, and that's what you do in couples coaching and therapy, is you learn to grow your capacity for the uncomfortable, right? Because we need to be able to expand that a little bit, to be able to get comfortable with our partner being different than us, having different beliefs, having different opinions, and be able to stay in it and regulate ourselves enough and co-regulate enough to be able to grow out of that.
Mm.
And it sounds like he was able to do that with you enough that you guys now were able to start to heal.
Yeah.
And it sounds, and I'm skipping ahead to when you were in couples therapy, is that you were starting to heal some of those original wounds together.
Sure.
From your childhood that you weren't able to connect as children. And so we often seek out that partner that's going to have to wound us in a similar way that our family did, so that we can, because our brain is always trying to make that wrong right. And so he was able to have enough capacity. And when you guys got to the point where you needed to go and find support and guidance to increase your capacity to heal even further.
He has the patience of a saint. And that is not one of my strengths. I am the most impatient. Like, I want it now. I want to have it now. Like, obviously this is what I teach. Like, let's go after it. Take the leap, take the risk. And in my relationship, it's not always easy. Yeah. This is fascinating. It's so good. I know that we have been recording for an hour now, and this has been so full of incredible things. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you're like, I just want to share this one message, this one last thing?
I think I would just reiterate that relationships can handle a lot more differences than we think. It's whether we know how to navigate relationship enough for those differences to be okay and be able to accept those differences and be able to hear our partner's differences without having to take on those differences.
So good.
That will transform a relationship. One aspect of it.
Dang, girl. You are full of the magic juice. I have loved our time together, Danielle. Thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you if they want to check out your work? They want to learn more from you. Where do they find you?
Sure. You can go to my Instagram, Danielle Demchuk. So my name, Danielle Demchuk, Demchuk. A lot of my videos are there and further information and that kind of thing.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Danielle, thank you for being here. And my friends, if you loved this podcast as much as I do, I literally have notes and notes and notes and notes. Please share it on Instagram, tag both of us on IG, share it with a friend, send it to a loved one. I just know that when more women have the insight, have the wisdom, have the understanding that we are literally raising the vibration of the planet and we are all living happier, more fulfilled, more fun lives. And I'm going to say we're also doing that for our relationships. So my loves, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for joining me. If today's podcast inspired you in any way, we would love your support in spreading the word. Please subscribe, rate, and review, and let the other queens in your life know that they are also worthy of living life full out. If you want to continue the conversation, I'd love to connect with you on Instagram or Facebook at Samantha Jo Harvey. Have a fabulous day, and I'll see you next time.